All right, welcome into the Chris Collinsworth podcast today with Doug Kite, and we are going to go team by team, and this is sort of an interesting exercise here. And Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this basically is if each of these teams could pick up one person in free agency or trade for somebody, this would be your move of choice. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Free agency, trade, try to make it pretty realistic with players who are available via free agency right now, could be available via trade. Nothing too fantastic out there, but yes, that's the idea.
All right, here we go. So this is, we'll do a little speed dial on this because we've got a lot of teams to get through. But I think it's a great exercise. And how about if we start with the AFC East, okay?
I like it.
I'm going to start right off with most people's favorites to win the Super Bowl this year, and that'd be the Buffalo Bills. And you start with a team that was fifth in offense, Josh Allen, what they've been able to do there, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis with a huge playoff game, and come back to this number one ranked defense with Leslie Frazier and group. What would you do to improve the Buffalo Bills?
I think they still need a veteran cornerback opposite Tre'Davious White. They've got Teron Johnson in the slot, obviously just picked up Kaiir Elam in the draft. But I think they just need a little bit more certainty there with Tre'Davious White coming off the torn ACL and a rookie as a projected starter. So I gave them Xavier Rhodes, still effective over the last couple of years, 74.8 coverage grade, getting up there in age, 32 years old, but big cornerback that I think would be effective if the Bills need that starting cornerback for the start of the season.
Do we have any idea if Tre'Davious White is going to be ready or when he might be ready? Because that it especially takes on significance, right, if in fact he's not ready for the beginning of the season.
Definitely. I haven't got word specifically if we know that he's going to be ready, but players do come back from those torn ACLs so fast at this point that if he's not ready to start the season, I think there will be, you know, relatively early in the season that he would be back. But I mean, he did tear that ACL week 12 last season. So that is a little bit deeper into the year, but that's just one of the reasons why I think that they do just need a little bit more certainty there at that position.
Get a little more help with Von Miller coming over as the pass rusher. And that was a bit of a stunner this off season.
Absolutely.
But there you go. How about the Miami Dolphins? What sticks out to you about the Miami Dolphins? For years, all we've ever talked about with them is, can they upgrade their offensive line? And they upgraded their offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are, they're kind of an underrated team right now, I think, that doesn't have a whole lot of holes on their offense or really on their defense. I think they could still use a little bit more work at linebacker, a little bit more help at linebacker. So I had them taking on Jamie Collins. He's a guy that I'm a little bit surprised that he's still out there as a free agent. Sounds like the most likely scenario is that he'll sign with a team with some familiarity with the Patriots defense at some point after maybe an injury. But I mean, if you're talking about Elandon Roberts or Jamie Collins, I would personally rather have Jamie Collins in a defense. And he's a guy who I think can do a lot of different things. He can be a situational pass rusher. He can be a coverage linebacker. He can play in the middle of the defense. So familiarity with Josh Boyer's system, I like the fit there with Jamie Collins. But like I said, not a ton of holes on that Dolphins team right now.
Yeah, they certainly they've got good cornerback play, good young safety play. It's interesting, Jamie Collins compared to Landon Roberts, kind of different guys, right? The speed, yep. The run around. And Jamie Collins, I can remember watching him at practice in New England, and it was the first time I had seen him, and he had on some different number, and I was literally standing next to Belichick, and I went, who the hell is that, man? I mean, he was just flying around and making plays. He goes, oh, that's our second round guy, Jamie Collins. I'm like, wow, I can't remember what his comment was. It was something like, you know, if we just point him in the right direction or something along those lines and let him go. Speaking of Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they did get back to the playoffs last year. And we talk about the quarterback position all the time and Mac Jones and what they're going to do, offensive coordinators, Josh McDaniels not there. But it was the defense that couldn't stop anybody from Buffalo in the playoffs that cost them a chance to move on.
Absolutely. And their biggest hole right now is at cornerback and at linebacker. they picked up some pieces at that those two positions this offseason, so I can't really see them adding another veteran cornerback with Terrence Mitchell in the mix, Malcolm Butler back there. They've got Jonathan Jones in the slot. And at linebacker, I just don't know if there's the perfect fit there. They added Mac Wilson in a trade with the Cleveland Browns, so they've already kind of filled that hole as well. I had them taking on Trey Flowers. Another guy that I'm absolutely shocked that Trey Flowers is still available as a free agent right now. He was released by the Detroit Lions. Obviously, he's got history with New England. He's got history with Matt Patricia, who's now back with the Patriots. And that edge position lacks certainty for the Patriots right now, where you've got Matthew Judon, but then you got Dietrich Wise as maybe the other starter. Josh Uche was a second-round pick a few years ago. He hasn't stepped up yet at this point. Ronnie Perkins, a third-round pick last year, he hasn't stepped up. So Trey Flowers is that guy who can do everything on the edge. He's missed some time recently, which I think is the main reason why he's still available, but just makes a ton of sense for the Patriots to add another impact player on their defense there on the edge who could play across from Matthew Judon.
It'll be interesting with Trent Brown back in there as well to see whether or not this is a team that can begin to unleash these two running backs and Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, who really probably has to be a bit of the core element of this offense, I would think, going forward. Although certainly helps a little bit to pick up a few of these receivers. Devontae Parker, could he finally be the guy that they get that makes a difference for this receiving corps?
He's a big receiver. I was talking to Devontae Parker this spring, and he is massive, like 225, 230. And interesting thing about Trent Brown, he's back at left tackle right now with the Patriots, at least he was during the spring. Isaiah Wynn moved from left tackle to right tackle. So some shifting around on the offensive line with some new faces in there.
Just running around his arms would take you half an hour as it is. So it's crazy. How about the New York Jets? Are the New York Jets and – we know Zach Wilson's been in the news for a variety of reasons here lately. But before all that came about, you looked at this offense and you said, all right, 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions a year ago, 13 games, missed 4 with a knee. But he was so good in college, it's got to click at some point here for him, right? What do you see with them?
I think it does have to click with him at some point. I will say that, you know, his level of competition during that final season at BYU, he was fantastic. But if there is something that would give me pause to say that he's going to take that next leap forward, that would probably be it, because he wasn't fantastic, I'd say, in 2019, really took a big step forward in 2020. But they've added pieces around him, and that's the most important thing. They've got Garrett Wilson now at wide receiver, joins Corey Davis and Elijah Moore. They picked up some help at tight end. So they did everything that they can to help him on offense. I would actually give them a linebacker. I'd give them Quan Alexander, another player with familiarity in the system, played with the 49ers under Robert Saleh. And I think that that's a position that the Jets didn't get a ton of production out of last season. I think that they ranked 26th in our linebacker unit rankings that Seth Galina put together. So they could definitely use another potential starter in their linebacker core with Quan Alexander.
CJ Mosley in there, and you wonder, you always think he can be more. You know, I don't know why. Right. He's just one of those guys I always think can be more. And then Carl Lawson, does he come back? Could be a huge part of the equation too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, C.J. Mosley only a 42 grade from us last season. Then they've got Quincy Williams and Jamie and Sherwood. Not a lot of big names at linebacker right now other than Mosley for the Jets.
The other name that pops out to me is Jordan Whitehead. I know the Bucs were pretty loaded at the safety position, but that guy made a lot of plays too. He sort of – I could see why they could potentially look at him and go, that he could be something. We'll see what he adds to the mix. Let's go over to the north now and the Baltimore Ravens. To me, in many ways, this is the most interesting team in football, that they start out 8-3 and they beat good teams. We did the game against Kansas City up there. Then they lost their last 6 when Jackson had the ankle injury. You know, Baltimore Ravens, if you want to pick a team that could be from, oh yeah, what happened to them last year? Didn't make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. But that's an interesting group too. What are they missing?
Yeah, they're one of those teams that could go from, you know, last to first in their division pretty easily this year. But I think the obvious position on the Ravens that they need is another wide receiver. They've got Rashad Bateman, but beyond that, it's James Prochet and Devin Duvernay, two guys who have been on that team for a number of years, but have never really asserted themselves as starters. So I gave them Will Fuller on this list. He's a player that, another one that I'm a little bit surprised that he's still out there, 1 year removed from signing a pretty big contract. But I think that they could use some more speed on that offense. Getting rid of Marquise Brown kind of opened up one of those wide receiver spots. I think that Will Fuller could fill in pretty easily. I think the question is whether, you know, Will Fuller is going to play this season, whether he's healthy, what's going on with him, because I think he had a personal issue last year as well. But if you're just talking about a one-for-one swap, Will Fuller for Marquise Brown is a pretty easy one that the Ravens could make there.
Because it's all about, you have to play the Ravens running game so tough. And that was even without J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards last year. So they, in theory, anyway, they get their two guys back this season with a healthy Lamar Jackson. So you really just need that player that can take the top off, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think they've got a really good wide receiver in Rashad Bateman, but he's not a speed guy. James Proche from the slot, he's not a speed guy. Devin Duvernay is, but like I said, he hasn't really done that much in the NFL since being a day two pick, I believe it was. So, yeah, get some speed on that offense. I know they have high expectations for Rashad Bateman, but he can't do it alone in the passing game, and at least from the wide receiver position. Obviously, they will be depending very heavily on their running game, and getting those guys back healthy will be huge. But I think that they just need one more receiver in that unit.
And they need their guys back at cornerback. Marcus Peters off the ACL, Marlon Humphrey off the pectoral injury. And they added a couple of guys in the draft. So I think that they realize they're a little short back there, although Marcus Williams, Kyle Hamilton at safety – and a lot of times the safeties are so much the key around here with the Baltimore Ravens. Cincinnati Bengals, my hometown team, my team that I played for, everybody thinks I'm 100% biased. But I keep looking at those guys and I go, you give me a bunch of guys who have yet to get paid, right? That were still on these rookie deals. But how do you get better than Burrow and Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd? That is pretty strong across the fantasy football spectrum for one team to have going into this season.
It really is. They're another team that I talked about with the Miami Dolphins. The Bengals don't have a lot of holes right now around their entire team. They didn't lose that much in free agency either. They did lose CJ Uzoma, but they were able to pick up Hayden Hurst. He'll be able to pick up some of the load, Drew Sample as well. They lost Larry Ogunjobi. So I gave them a defensive tackle. It was a player that's actually been signed since now, which is Eddie Goldman. But I do think that they could use at least one more fill-in there on their interior defensive line. There's a lot of players at that position. They're still available, some older guys. I don't think that, you know, a guy like Brandon Williams is necessarily the biggest, best fit, but he's still out there. Malik Jackson, Sheldon Richardson, Darius Filon. You know, there's a lot of those kind of 30-plus defensive linemen that I think that they can use one more piece there up on the interior to help against the run defense. But otherwise, the Bengals are looking pretty good heading into the 2022 season for me.
You know, I never really stopped to think about it, but it's probably the most run-heavy division that there is in football. Baltimore, you have to stop the run. Pittsburgh is going to make the change at quarterback this year. So instead of being pass it all the time, they're probably going to be focused on the running game as well. And Cleveland, we know they're going to run the football. So hey, you better have a little bit of depth going into this season trying to stop the run. The Cleveland Browns, it's by far one of the most interesting teams because of Deshaun Watson at this point. And literally by the time this podcast comes out, we may end up having some news as to what happens with their quarterback situation. Baker Mayfield now in Carolina, Jacoby Brissett will either play the entire season, half the season, part of the season. We have no idea, but as you look at them, what sticks out? What do they still need?
I mean, this is going to sound a little bit absurd, but if Deshaun Watson is suspended for the entire season, I'd consider trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's still out there with the San Francisco 49ers. I know it's more money to pour into that position, but if Watson is suspended for the entire season, his contract would actually toll. And it was a big story at the time. He only has a $1 million salary in 2022. If that contract tolled, then he would only have a $1 million salary in 2023. So the Browns would actually have quite a bit of salary cap space to play around with for the next 2 years. I think the Browns are ready to compete for that division, for the conference, maybe even for a Super Bowl. And I don't think they're going to get there with Jacoby Brissett, I think they would have a much better chance of getting close to there with Jimmy Garoppolo, who's done it a few times already with the San Francisco 49ers. So I know it sounds crazy to sign Jacoby Brissett and trade Case Keenum and, you know, sign Deshaun or trade for Deshaun Watson, trade Baker Mayfield, but I don't have a lot of faith personally in Jacoby Brissett to get them into the playoffs. I think they'd have a much better chance with a different veteran starter. And if that contract tolls for Deshaun Watson, if he's out for an entire season, there's a player who's pretty useful out there in Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
I think it's a really interesting concept. I really do. That is a team that's ready to win right now. And I'm going to keep my streak alive that I get interrupted by my phone on every single podcast, everyone. So anyway, here we go. The Pittsburgh Steelers, and we talked about it. Najee Harris is, you know, 1,200 yards a season ago, 74 receptions a year ago. But you've got to think with either Trubisky or Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph, let's throw them all out there, you know, that this is going to be a run-first team. And so if you're going to add to the mix, what are you adding?
Now, I do think that one potential scenario would be to sign an offensive lineman. There's a guy like Eric Flowers who's still out there. I think they could use help at the tackle and guard positions. But I had them re-signing Joe Hayden. He's a player that is still available out there. He was still pretty effective last season. 33 years old, but still has something left in the tank. And the Steelers ranked 28th in our secondary unit rankings that Mike Renner put together. So I do still think they could use a little bit more help there in the secondary. But like I said, I would also look to the offensive line. There's a lot of good 30-plus tackles and guards that are still out there as well.
Indianapolis Colts, as we move on to the South here, and you would think that I'm really stunned that they didn't make the playoffs last year. It was a soft division, two teams that didn't win many games at all. And now there will be a new quarterback for the seventh straight year. Is that amazing or what? Seven straight years now, a new starting quarterback, and five in a row under Frank Reich. Matt Ryan comes in. They add to the defense, so they're going for it this year. Yannick Ngakoue, Stephon Gilmore, Gus Bradley comes in as the new defensive coordinator. This is a team that, you know, if there's a team that did not make the playoffs a season ago that could this year and could make a run, I would say the Indianapolis Colts. But as you look at them, what are they missing?
And they're missing another wide receiver, and it's almost too obvious. Maybe they should sign Julio Jones. He's got the experience there with Matt Ryan. They've already got Michael Pittman on one side, but they don't have an obvious starter on the other side. Maybe it's Alec Pierce, a second-round pick out of Cincinnati, but I don't think you really necessarily want to bank on a rookie like that. They've got Paris Campbell in the slot, but he's had a hard time staying healthy. So I'm not sure what Julio Jones is looking for on the open market, but that familiarity with Matt Ryan would be key, and they just really desperately need one more weapon on that offense, I think.
God, I just don't know. Do you think he can stay healthy? It just seemed like he really was such a non-factor last year, and you know, I assume you still have to pay him to get him, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Who knows? Tennessee Titans, they've won the division back-to-back here. So many guys. They had 91 total players with injuries that missed time a season ago. Now no A.J. Brown. Ryan Tannehill clearly under pressure. Derrick Henry comes back. Is this a team now that is ready to make that next step after what was a very tough season for them last year, right? I mean, they sacked Joe Burrow 9 times in the playoff game and still get beat based on 3 interceptions from Ryan Tannehill. Your gut feeling and what the Tennessee Titans need, is it just receiver help too?
I think it is receiver help again, and it's a player that hasn't really been tied to them that much. And Odell Beckham Jr., I'm not sure if he'll be ready to start the season. Might be kind of a week 6 situation coming off the pup list. But they've got Robert Woods, another guy coming off of a torn ACL. They drafted Treylon Burks, but he had kind of a shaky spring where he was dealing with some hydration issues or maybe some, you know, physical issues. But then beyond that, you don't really know who that third starter at wide receiver is going to be. Right now, it'd probably be Nick Westbrook Akine. But I like the fit there for Odell Beckham Jr. And the Titans are a team that's kind of in flux right now where, yeah, they've got Ryan Tannehill, but he's not really guaranteed to be there after this season. They drafted Malik Willis. They have to – if they're going to compete, it almost seems like it has to be this season. And I do think that they're just another team that could use another weapon. And it's kind of amazing these wide receiver names that are still out there that we've talked about already, Will Fuller, Julio Jones, but Odell Beckham Jr., certainly expect him to sign somewhere before the season. And the Titans could definitely use the help there.
I tell you, anymore, you just get the feeling that teams are looking at those wide receiver prices of the veterans and going, God, give me a third round draft pick instead of paying $20 million for a guy who's not the A plus level of a wide receiver. Let's go to Jacksonville. Is it possible that Jacksonville with Doug Peterson finally begins to piece this thing together? Of course, the guy, one of the guys that comes to mind for me, James Robinson, out with the torn Achilles a season ago, but Travis Etienne missed the entire year. There was such chemistry between those two guys at Clemson. Could he be that, oh yeah, kind of guy? And then you added sort of incrementally to your wide receiver core, Christian Kirk. I don't know if anybody went, oh my God, that was the greatest steal of all time. Zay Jones. There's some people in there that, if they can just sort of piece it together under Doug Peterson, could they finally begin to make a move?
I think they can. And, out of those teams, I wrote an article a few weeks ago of who could be this year's Cincinnati Bengals, where they're going from basically, bottom of the league to a playoff team or maybe even a Super Bowl contender. And the Jaguars are the team that I look to where, yeah, it sounds absurd at the time, but it probably would have sounded absurd to talk about the Bengals in that situation last year as well. I think Trevor Lawrence has an opportunity to take a massive step forward this season. Just, the head coach drama last year has been settled with Doug Peterson. I don't think you could really ask for a better head coach to be grooming Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. And like, I mean, you can question how the Jaguars spent their money this year. You can question the prices that they gave some of those players, but you can't question the fact that they got better. And Christian Kirk is an upgrade over what they had. Zay Jones is a decent player. Evan Ingram helps out at tight end. And like you said, Travis Etienne coming back at running back. I think that Trevor Lawrence has a chance. To he was a pretty poor rookie quarterback last season. I think that he could even maybe assert himself as the best quarterback in that class after this year, which is what everyone expected. As far as what they still need, I gave them a slot cornerback in Chris Harris. I know that they filled in pieces at that cornerback position this year with Darius Williams. They've still got Tyson Campbell and Shaquille Griffin, but they don't have none of those guys is the prototypical slot cornerback. And I think that, like I was saying earlier, just a little bit of certainty. I think they could use a little bit of veteran certainty at the slot position and sign a guy like Chris Harris who's still out there.
I'm really curious to watch them. We get them early. They just incrementally got better at a lot of positions. Brandon Scherff up front, they get Cam Robinson back at the left tackle position. They just got a little bit better. Trayvon Walker, Devin Lloyd, the linebacker, is just one of those dynamic leader kind of personalities that stayed at Utah after teammates of his got killed, and it was like such a weird story. Everything, but he's an impressive guy. The Houston Texans, here we go. We talked about this division and what it could be. Lovie Smith, almost by default, became head coach of this football team. We're not going to litigate all that. But there is a belief in Davis Mills there that extends way beyond what maybe the outside world, who never saw a Texans game last year, what are they missing on this team?
It's funny you talk about Davis Mills. I mean, I think it shows this offseason they didn't make a move at quarterback. I think that is because they do believe in Davis Mills. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, if the price gets low enough, if Davis Mills doesn't show enough or anything like that, maybe that's still a possibility. But they're another team that I think could use a wide receiver. They've got Brandon Cooks, but beyond that, it's Nico Collins, Chris Conley. They drafted John Mechie, who's coming off a torn ACL. So I gave them Cole Beasley. I know that he's kind of a controversial figure, or at least he was in the NFL, but still an effective player. Texans had Danny Amendola in that role last year. He wasn't able to fully stay healthy. He's 36, 37 years old. Cole Beasley is kind of a younger upgrade over Danny Amendola. And another player that, like I said, he was effective last year, maybe not as good as he was in 2020, but he's still a good player, could certainly be effective from the slot.
Well, they won't have any more controversial player than they traded away to Cleveland or gave a season ago. So Cole Beasley will just slide in there. That won't be a problem at all. The Denver Broncos, here we go. In many ways, the team to watch here, right? We've got Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett in there, who was sort of the go-to coach behind the scenes with the Green Bay Packers a season ago. As you look at this team, you just have to assume that the deep ball and all the things that Russell Wilson does so well is going to be the cornerstone of this offense. But I'll take Javonte Williams anytime, anywhere at running back. So they're going to have the stability of that, along with Melvin Gordon in there. But it's a good-looking group of wide receivers. Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, K.J. Hamler. I mean, this is a team that could win soon.
Yeah, they absolutely could. I mean, they've got one of the most loaded offenses in the NFL right now. You mentioned all the guys. I mean, you got Melvin Gordon as their backup running back. They're loaded running back and wide receiver. And then they've also got Albert Okwuegbunam at tight end, who showed some promise last year. So I made a move on the defensive side of the ball, signing Anthony Hitchens. There's just another team that could use, I think, a little bit more depth at linebacker. Right now it's Josie Jewell, who was good last season, but Alex Singleton currently in that other role. Maybe Baron Browning steps up this season. But I think you could just use another veteran there at linebacker. They rank 20th in our linebacker unit rankings. No, it's not the sexiest move for them, but they don't really need anything along the rest of the roster. They're another team that's stacked up pretty well this season.
Kansas City Chiefs, of course, 5-1 in that division, but that division is going to be something else here. And but for playing the Cincinnati Bengals twice, could have easily ended up the world champions again a season ago. This is a football team that will be among the most interesting to watch, but you can't deny what Brett Veach and Andy Reid have done. 45 wins in the last 3 years. Arguably the best quarterback in football in Patrick Mahomes. Your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs now trying to do it without Tyreek?
Yeah, the Chiefs, they drafted George Karlaftis on the edge. They've still got Frank Clark, but I could see them adding another situational edge rusher. I gave them Carlos Dunlap. I think that he was still a good player last year for the Seahawks. I've heard that he's got some offers on the table, just kind of trying to decide on the best fit. But I think that he could fill that role that Melvin Ingram played for them last season pretty well, just being that third down guy, that guy who can come in, not play 100% of snaps or anything like that, maybe 30, 40% of snaps, but just provide a little bit more help up there on the edge for them at defensive end.
Yeah, I didn't see Karlaftis as being that significant edge rusher guy when I was watching him in college, but maybe I'm wrong on that one. I look forward to watching more tape. The Las Vegas Raiders finished 10-8, 3-3 in the division. They go on and make the playoffs, lose barely to a Cincinnati Bengals team that went on to the Super Bowl, so give them some credit. But this is a team now that they add Davante Adams, they add Josh McDaniels, they add Chandler Jones. You know, is this a team that we're crazy sleeping on, or is the offensive line and some of those issues just too much to overcome here?
I think we're sleeping on them a little bit. I think that one factor on the offensive line is that they brought over Carmen Brasillo from the New England Patriots to be their offensive line coach. So I think that there's going to be some new technique being taught to those Raiders offensive linemen. Patriots always did a very good job of getting rid of the ball quickly with Tom Brady. So I think that that's something that we'll probably see quite a bit with Derek Carr. So some of those issues up front for the Raiders might not be as big as they could be if the Raiders keep doing things the way that the New England Patriots used to do, kind of directing the pass rushers behind Derek Carr, forcing him to step up in the pocket and get rid of the ball quickly. So I actually gave them a linebacker. They're another team that's kind of depleted at linebacker right now. They don't have great fits for that Patrick Graham system. So I gave them Dante Hightower, another player who's maybe somewhat surprisingly still available, getting up there in age. But I think that he's looking right now for maybe a little bit more of a limited role for the 2022 season. So maybe an early down inside linebacker, maybe a situational pass rusher, maybe a situational blitzer. He's just a guy who fits that defense really well. And they don't have a lot of bigger linebackers who fit that Patriots defense mold right now.
The Chris Collinsworth podcast is sponsored by Western and Southern Financial Group. They do everything over there. Luckily, you've got a first round pick in helping you make the right money moves. So there you go. Do you need life insurance? They've got that. What about help planning for your financial goals? Always important. So don't pass up on these very important picks. Use your position to expand your financial education and learn more with information on life insurance, investing, and retirement planning only at our friends from Western and Southern. WesternSouthern.com/draft. Right now you can get 25% off any PFF subscription if you use code, wait for it, Collinsworth. There you go. What can you get with a PFF subscription? All of PFF's locked article content. There's a ton of that. Fantasy football rankings and projections coming out very soon. Get way ahead of your competitors and don't ride naked in the back of a pickup truck or whatever the punishment is. Data and grades from the entire 2021 season and upcoming 2022 season and so much more. Support the podcast, all the great young people around here. Use code Collinsworth for 25% off any sub. I can't wait to hear who you're going to help the LA Chargers with. This is a team that... another one, almost unbelievably, like the Colts that didn't make the playoffs a season ago, losing that last game to the Raiders. But you talk about a team that feels loaded. If Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa somehow stay healthy this year, it's like, damn. And then you got J.C. Jackson signed up on the back end of this thing. And this team just feels to me like they could really be something special this year.
I was talking to former Vikings GM Rick Spielman a few weeks ago and was talking to him about the Chargers, and he just knows they could still use a right tackle. And it's true. They've got Trey Pipkins maybe there, Storm Norton competing for the job. So I gave them Darrell Williams, the former Bills offensive lineman. He played a little bit of guard last season, wasn't quite as effective as he was as a right tackle. So I think that he's a guy who could just slot right in at right tackle and really fill out that offensive line and really fill out that whole team. Because like you said, they've got a loaded roster. But that right tackle position, I've seen, you know, I heard from Rick Spielman, I've seen it from a lot of Chargers fans. That's still the biggest question mark on their team.
Let's go over to the NFC now. The Dallas Cowboys, of course, 12-6, beaten by the 49ers in that home playoff game. Undefeated in their division, though, but just 6-6 outside the division. So do we give Dallas too much credit for being dominant in a division that was not that good? Now Randy Gregory slips away to Denver. Their last Super Bowl is in 95. This was the number one ranked offense a season ago, though. The Dallas Cowboys, if you're going to help them, what do you do? They've got some good young players on that side of the ball, but what do you like?
I gave them a linebacker. I gave them Anthony Barr. I think that some of this depends on how the Cowboys want to use Micah Parsons this season, whether they do want to use him off the ball linebacker or more as an edge defender. But just got some questions there at linebacker. But I thought the Cowboys offseason was pretty bizarre this season. The amount of players that they lost, trading away Amari Cooper, losing some offensive linemen. I was just surprised by how they handled it, because I thought that the NFC East would be theirs for the taking this year. And now the Philadelphia Eagles are kind of sneaking up on them a little bit this year, where I'm not sure. I think it's going to be a pretty fierce competition there at the NFC East. And I thought that the Dallas Cowboys had a chance to take that this offseason, and they were just left with a decent amount of cap room and lost some good players this offseason.
Yeah, and a few that maybe they didn't even have to lose, you know. So right. that was the interesting part about that. The Philadelphia Eagles, you mentioned them. And it's a team that finished 9-9 and got beat by the Bucs in the first round of the playoffs. Clearly were overmatched. I mean, let's just say it like it was. They were overmatched in that playoff game. But you throw A.J. Brown on there, right? I mean, you can't get a whole lot better than that. Then add that with Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. And almost Miles Sanders, plenty good enough. Averaged 5.5 yards per carry in the backfield. So it comes down to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, we love, right, as far as running the football. We know what he can do. The guy rushed, had 56 rushing first downs a season ago, seventh most of any position, but only 16 touchdown passes. And is that ever going to be enough to knock out the top end, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's of the world. You got to beat those guys eventually if you're going to get anywhere. Dak Prescott, you go right down the list. But if you're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles today, what are you seeing? What do they need?
They've got some of the best cornerbacks in the NFL right now with Darius Slay, James Bradbury, and Avante Maddox, but I think they could still use a little bit more help at safety. And Jimmy Smith, he's 34. He mostly played cornerback with the Baltimore Ravens, but he has dabbled a little bit at safety. I think that he's one of those guys that can move from cornerback to safety late in his career, and the Eagles have liked moving players from cornerback to safety. They like those cornerback types at safety. Right now they've got Kayvon Wallace and Anthony Harris. Not quite sure that's good enough at that position. I think they could use one more veteran back there at safety.
No, it's a good play, Marcus Epps. Who knows what after letting Rodney McLeod go, so who knows. The New York Giants, maybe it's just because I like Brian Daboll. I do. I think he's a good guy, and I've gotten to know him over the years. 1-5 in the division, 4-13. Daniel Jones is sitting there, and you go, is there even an ounce of Josh Allen in there that Daboll could possibly bring out, right? Is it possible? Because you now have Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal at the tackle positions. Saquon Barkley playing for his life this year. I mean, he's got to prove it, right? He's got to – so you figure you're going to get the best out of that. Kayvon Thibodeau to add to the pass rush on the other side. Or is it just too much to even consider that you're going to get that kind of production out of Daniel Jones? They don't even pick up the fifth-year option on him.
It's definitely a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones, but it feels like it's been a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones for two or three years now. I feel like he keeps getting these new chances, and he deserves it with Brian Daboll. I think that the ceiling is just a little bit limited based on what we've seen from Daniel Jones. I don't think he's had many special moments with the Giants. I think he's been a little bit hamstrung by the situations that he's faced there with, you know, the receiving corps, the head coaching situations. So he's definitely in the best situation possible this year. So I think we'll finally get to actually see what Daniel Jones looks like. At the same time, they're a team that's rebuilding a little bit, doesn't have the greatest offensive line. Maybe they could use a little bit more help there at either guard or center, despite the fact that they did add Evan Neal this offseason, but obviously we expect him to play tackle. But I give them another linebacker, LJ Fort. He had his best season in his NFL career under Don Martindale, the Giants' new defensive coordinator. LJ Fort missed, I think, all of last season with an injury, but still out there. And I think that he could be a starter in that Giants defense over, you know, other possible players like Tay Crowder, Carter Coughlin. Beyond Blake Martinez, they don't really have that obvious second starter at inside linebacker right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some of the positions that we're talking about are like guards and linebackers and safeties, right? That people don't want to pay top end dollars for, but sooner or later those guys go, I got to go somewhere. I've got to go play. So we'll see. The Washington Commanders, interesting football team, and Carson Wentz is everybody's whipping boy right now, and I get that, but still 7-10 last year with Tyler Heinicke, and Tyler's a nice player. But this is also a team that had a lot of stuff sort of go wrong for them a season ago, especially on the defensive side. But this is a defensive line that should be dominant and really wasn't a season ago.
No, it's true. Yeah, and their defense in general, there was such high expectations for them coming into last season. And they just really didn't live up to them. I think that they're another team that's got a hole at linebacker. Joe Schobert is out there. He was released this offseason. So that's who I gave to the Washington Commanders. But, you know, Jamin Davis, I know they had high expectations for him last year. He didn't step up last year as a rookie. They've got David Mayo, Cole Holcomb, not a whole lot else there at the linebacker position. But, no, definitely a fascinating team. And they were in that sweet spot for Carson Wentz, where Carson Wentz wasn't necessarily an upgrade for a lot of other teams around the NFL, but he certainly was for the Washington Commanders over Taylor Heinicke. So I think that, you know, he could be enough to get them a little bit over the hump there, being a better quarterback than they had last year. But yeah, a lot of those things that went wrong for them last year certainly have to go right this year.
You know, it's not a good sign when the guy, Jamin Davis, that came out of Kentucky, that, to be honest, when he came out of the draft, I was like, okay, I see he can run like the wind, but he doesn't make many plays. I'm like, right. Sometimes you just wonder, is that 40-yard dash time too important? So they've already moved Cole Holcomb over to the middle linebacker position, despite the fact that Rivera talked about at some point this offseason that, yeah, that's going to be a position we have to upgrade. They really didn't. They didn't at all. The Chicago Bears, 2-4 in their division after a 6-11 year. Matt Eberflus goes over there. And if there's any team that you go, boy, this feels like a rebuild, this is the team. So pick a position you like to and go ahead and rebuild it.
It's wide receiver. They were dead last in our wide receiver unit rankings. It's Darnell Mooney, then Aquinius St. Brown. They've got Byron Pringle. So I gave them Emmanuel Sanders. I know these other players kind of getting up there in age, but I think you need to put a little bit more around Justin Fields this year just to see what he can do, because if he has another season like last year with a new coaching staff in place, you could be talking about them starting over at that quarterback position before too long. So I just want to see one more offensive weapon that Justin Fields can count on beyond Darnell Mooney, because I expect big things out of Darnell Mooney this season. I know he expects big things out of himself. I know the team does, but you can only do so much with Darnell Mooney as your only wide receiver. So Emmanuel Sanders, or one of those plethora of other wide receivers we've talked about, just add one more to that group.
Darnell Mooney as a number two, yeah, he's a great fit. Darnell Mooney is the number one with no Allen Robinson. That's asking a lot. We shall see. Yes. The Detroit Lions, 3-13 and one a season ago. They lost 11 straight to begin the season, but then they did win three of their last six. So Dan Campbell, at least a very popular coach with that football team after Matt Patricia made a few people upset in Detroit, to say the least. So many times it comes down to the quarterback position. Did Jared Goff do enough during that final little stretch? 11 touchdowns and two interceptions once Dan Campbell sort of took over the play calling for Anthony Lynn there. Is there something there?
I mean, I'm not convinced, but I don't hate the fact that they're giving him another year to show it, because the best way to fix your quarterback position, if you're the Lions, is to draft one. And this wasn't a good draft for quarterbacks. It was one of the worst ever. So just give Jared Goff one more year, see what he can do. And then if you have to start over next season with a high draft pick, it's a good draft, at least at this point, to need a quarterback. So, I don't love Jared Goff as their starting quarterback, but I actually kind of like the approach they took there by not upgrading the position with a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo or a guy like Baker Mayfield, who's not an obvious upgrade and going to be their next franchise quarterback. So I gave them a cornerback. I gave them Jackrabbit Jenkins. They've got a lot of questions there at cornerback right now with Jeff Okuda coming off of an injury. They've got Jerry Jacobs coming off an injury. They signed Mike Hughes, but he's more of a slot cornerback. So Jackrabbit Jenkins, guy who's kind of bounced around the NFL for his whole career, but still definitely an effective player, and he deserves a job, maybe even a starting job in the NFL right now.
Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers come back, and do I have to go farther than the wide receiver position? Are we going somewhere else on that one? Or, you're talking about a guy, 37 touchdowns, four interceptions, 112 rating, and you would think they'd be loaded up at wide receiver, but really right now running back their best position, and maybe Aaron Jones is going to be the answer as that other receiver for him this year.
Yeah, I gave them T.Y. Hilton. I do think they need one more wide receiver, and it's the same question as Julio Jones. Can T.Y. Hilton stay healthy? But I just think that they need to throw as many bodies out there as possible and hope that one of those guys stays healthy. Obviously, they already signed Sammy Watkins this offseason. I was actually talking to his trainer for an unrelated story about Gabriel Davis today. And his trainer was really hyping up Sammy Watkins, saying that this is the most work that he's ever put in an offseason. I know we've heard it before with all these guys, but Sammy Watkins was telling his trainer that he wants to be college Sammy Watkins. He wants to be Clemson Sammy Watkins. So maybe there's something there with Sammy Watkins, but I don't think it's a sure thing. I think that they could use one more player at that position. I gave them T.Y. Hilton, but it's really a number of any of those veteran wide receivers that are still out there that I'm sure Aaron Rodgers would appreciate putting into the mix.
Yeah, and some of those guys are going to become available on cut down day, late in the year. And so I think there'll be a little bit of a mad rush maybe for the Green Bay Packers to go get some veteran guy too. The Minnesota Vikings, 4-2 in that division, and they knew what they had to do. They went out, their defense that they'd always been known for under Zimmer, dropped off last year, 30th ranked defense, despite being second in sacks. That's an unusual stat to put together, but five of their top six picks in this draft were all defensive related. Do they need more on the defensive side?
Yeah, I gave them linebacker Alexander Johnson. Maybe not the biggest position of need for the Vikings since they do have Eric Kendricks and Jordan Hicks, but Johnson's best play in the NFL came under new Vikings defensive coordinator Ed Donatell in Denver. He got an 81.9 overall grade while playing under Donatell. So he's just a good player who I think deserves a job, and the Vikings, at least schematically, would be a good fit for him.
They need Danielle Hunter to get healthy, and if Za'Darius Smith can return to his Green Bay form of 2 and 3 years ago, where he had 26 sacks in 2019 and 20, then maybe they get it going. The Atlanta Falcons, the unbelievable part about the Atlanta Falcons, this is one of my favorite stats of the year, 7-10 last year. But they won those seven games despite being outscored by 146 points on the season. So they got, when they got beat, they got crushed. And when they won, they just barely won. And now they've got Marcus Mariota reunited, you know, here with Arthur Smith, who they were together at Tennessee. And Arthur Smith or somebody had to bench him there, goes on to the Raiders, comes back now with the Atlanta Falcons. Pick a spot, man. What do you want to improve there?
I mean, talk about a team that's in a rebuild right now. I had them trading for Cleveland Browns running back D'Ernest Johnson. The Browns are a little bit loaded up front right now with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. D'Ernest Johnson is only on a one-year deal. And the Falcons, beyond Cordarrelle Patterson, pretty desperately need help at running back. They signed Damian Williams, but beyond that, Tyler Allgeier out of BYU, I think, was a fourth or fifth round pick. D'Ernest Johnson was one of the best running backs in the NFL last year, according to our grades. I think he might have actually been our top graded running back. That's obviously on a limited sample size, but still a really good player. And if they traded for a guy like D'Ernest Johnson, then maybe that allows Cordarrelle Patterson to play a little bit more at wide receiver, where the Falcons also could use some help. Obviously, they drafted Drake London, but beyond that, it's Brian Edwards, it's Damir Bird. Really just pick a skill position, and they could use help at it.
Be interesting to see if the Browns would give him up. Kareem Hunt, we don't, you know, you're away from right. His contract. And Carolina Panthers, here we go. Tell me about now that Baker Mayfield is there, they are the Super Bowl champions, I do believe.
Well, I actually, in my piece, I gave them Baker Mayfield. So I was I guess I'm one for one on the Panthers there, at least in this piece. But no, I think that move made a lot of sense for both parties. I think that Baker Mayfield obviously wasn't great last season, but he was dealing with so many injuries that I think that there's still a pretty good chance that he could return to that, you know, 2019, 2020 form that he showed in the past. I think he's a pretty significant upgrade over Sam Darnold. I don't know what winds up happening with Darnold at this point, but it was a move that was months in the making that the Panthers finally made. But there's a reason I slotted it in there, and it's just, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think that they're necessarily ready to compete, but Baker Mayfield definitely gives them a better chance than any of the other quarterbacks in that room.
30th ranked offense a season ago. Let me give you a couple of names that if they all work, right? So if Christian McCaffrey, who's been out for a couple of years, all of a sudden now he can play. Here's a guy that averaged 100 yards per game in total offense and a touchdown per game when he played. DJ Moore is one of the great young players in the league. Over 1,100 yards in each of his first three seasons. You draft Terrace Marshall, who his season ended with a concussion last year. Ike Ekwonu comes in. They finally have a left tackle after all the years with Jordan Gross. And since he went out in 2014, Taylor Moton, PFF's highest graded right tackle. So if all that stuff, right, if you get those guys back in the mix, you have tackles now on the outside. You have DJ Moore. You have McCaffrey. It's possible that that Baker Mayfield comes in, everybody goes, wow, Baker Mayfield's really good. And it may just be that these other pieces finally got put back together here.
I mean, I'm on board with you. I thought it was crazy that Baker Mayfield was out there for as long as he was. I know he's kind of a somewhat of a limited quarterback because of his size. You know, his kind of when things don't go perfectly for him, he kind of unravels a little bit. But I do think that, like you said, having Christian McCaffrey, having DJ Moore, he's got a great skill positions around him. Ikem Ekwonu could be an effective left tackle. And the Panthers had a great defense last year. I know they lost Stephon Gilmore, but he wasn't really a major part of that last year anyway. So I like what they've built. I like the fact that J.C. Horn's back. They've got C.J. Henderson, who was a high pick only a few years ago at cornerback. And that NFC South, it's a little bit open right now. I mean, at least it will be in a year. I think the Buccaneers are obviously the favorite this year, but at least for finishing behind the Buccaneers and into the future, I think the Panthers have a chance to be competitive. But yeah, if everything goes right, I like it. And it was a no-brainer for them to trade for Baker Mayfield, especially for the price that they got him at.
New Orleans Saints, Jameis Winston, this is it, right? 5-2 last year before the injury. Great deep ball thrower. He can get the ball down the field. This is a team that's won a lot of games. Before last year, last 5 years, they won at least 12 games. And so now the question becomes, what do they do? Dennis Allen, second go around as a head coach here. But offense, clearly what they're going to have to be able to prove. And they've got some issues. We don't know what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara. Was he going to be suspended? Not suspended. Is Michael Thomas going to come back and be the Michael Thomas that we knew? Is Chris Olave going to live up to the hype? I mean, they trade up a lot to get him this offseason. Your thoughts on them and no Tron Armstead. Is this a team? Can Carolina overtake them and become at least the second dog in that South?
I think they can. I mean, Jameis Winston is, there's just a lack of certainty there with him, what he's even going to look like in general, but especially coming off of an injury. I had them making a trade, and this is the caveat here is that the Browns would only be willing to trade one of these running backs, but I had the Saints trading for Kareem Hunt. There's been some rumors that Kareem Hunt could be available via trade. Like you said, I mean, he's a year away from, he needs a new contract. And that uncertainty hanging over Alvin Kamara is real. The Saints are bracing for a suspension there. It could be as much as, you know, 6 games, could be reduced down to 4 games. But what do they do if Alvin Kamara is out for 4 or 6 games when their other running backs are Mark Ingram, who's getting up there in years, Tony Jones, who didn't really do much last season? They've got an undrafted free agent and Abram Smith. One way or the other, I think that they need to bring in at least one more dependable veteran running back. And I don't think it would take that much to trade for Kareem Hunt. They might need to, you know, give him a new contract, give him a little bit of a pay bump, and they've got some cap room to play around with. But I like them adding another impact player at running back because I also think that Alvin Kamara could use some help and you know, work in kind of a dual role, a dual backfield there.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who has to be one of the top Super Bowl picks for this year. Last year, Chris Godwin, injured for the playoff run, gets a 3-year, $60 million deal despite coming off the ACL. And everybody talk about no Gronk, but Cameron Brate can certainly play as a receiving tight end at the very least. And we know what they can do on the defensive side of the ball. Probably need a little bit better play out of Devin White this year. I think he may have fallen off a bit from a season ago. But despite the fact that Todd Bowles is there, you still have Byron Leftwich calling the plays on the offensive side of the ball. What is lacking here? Are we back to that other guard position now that they've signed Shaq Mason, or what do you think they need?
In my piece, it was convince Rob Gronkowski to unretire midway through the season. And
No.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that that could happen. Rob Gronkowski's already retired once. Tom Brady's already retired once. I think that if they're getting near the playoffs, maybe halfway through the season, looking for another Super Bowl run, get Rob Gronkowski back in the mix because otherwise they're a team that isn't lacking a whole lot. I like Cameron Brate, like you said, as a receiving tight end, but I think he's been best suited as kind of that number two in Tampa Bay. I like Cade Otton, the tight end that they drafted, but he's coming off of some injuries. So for me, it's just getting Tom Brady to pick up that phone and convince Rob Gronkowski to come back midway, because otherwise I thought that they had a really solid offseason. I like Logan Ryan, who they signed at safety. I think that he could be a good replacement for Jordan Whitehead. But yeah, they could use Gronk midway through the season when he's feeling good again.
All right, last division. Let's talk about the 49ers here and exactly what you feel like that they are lacking going into the season. Of course, all eyes on Trey Lance and exactly what's going to happen with him, and Debo Samuel to some extent. Even though he's back, is Debo Samuel going to be willing to play that role again of that running back slash receiver?
Yeah, it is a good question whether he's going to be willing to do that or not. They do have other good running backs if they do need to fill in at that position and help replace that position that Debo Samuel is playing there, is that dual threat wide receiver running back. But I had started that quarterback position, the guy right in front of the quarterback. I think they need J.C. Treader. It's almost too obvious. The San Francisco 49ers lost Alex Mack to retirement this offseason. J.C. Treader surprisingly still out there, despite him being one of the best centers in the NFL last year, according to our rankings. And 49ers lost Alex Mack and Laken Tomlinson. I think they just need a little bit more help up front there to protect Trey Lance.
Very interesting. Yeah, Treader not being signed is definitely sometimes you just don't understand everything that's going on in the world, and that's one of them. Seattle Seahawks now. We start the era, right, of no Russell Wilson. And what sticks out to you about the Seahawks?
There's a lot that sticks out to me about the Seahawks. I think that they're another team that's in a pretty obvious rebuild here. But they could use more help at linebacker, especially after losing Bobby Wagner. I think that they could use another veteran presence in there, someone to kind of lead that whole defense, lead the room. And I would have them bring back KJ Wright. In an interview recently, KJ Wright said that he's not going to play for a team that's not the Seahawks. His home base is in Seattle. When he played for the Raiders last year, his family stayed back in Seattle, and it was really tough for him to be away from them. So if the only team that he wants to play for is the Seahawks, then I think that he still deserves a job in the NFL, and I think that he could be an upgrade over what they have right now. And it would give them at least one more thread back to the Legion of Boom days.
Going on to Arizona now, and one of the things, you know, I was going through and studying Arizona a little bit, and we all know that once again, they fall off the table at the end of the year last year and get crushed in the playoffs. But they started 7-0. And about that time is when J.J. Watt got hurt as well. And no Chandler Jones now. You just wonder, is this a team that is going to be a little too dependent on an older player staying healthy? Or was that part of the mix? Was it not part of the mix? Kyler Murray, we don't know what's going to happen with his contract situation. Your thoughts on how Arizona can fix thyself?
I had them re-signing Corey Peters. I think it might be a little bit more of an obvious move. He's another guy who's getting up there in age, but still going to play this season. It just depends on who he's going to wind up signing with. But I actually think that signing a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul could make a lot of sense for the Cardinals after they lost Chandler Jones. He's another guy getting up in age, 33, but he was effective last year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think that the Cardinals are definitely a team that could use another edge defender, because right now it's Marcus Golden, and you're probably going to have, J.J. Watt playing some on the edge, but there's not another obvious edge defender on that team that's going to be a starter. I think that Jason Pierre-Paul could come in there and make a difference right away.
World champs are pretty good here in the LA Rams. Is there a position of great need here? You go right to Andrew Whitworth, but I thought Joe Noteboom played really well in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, there's some good offensive linemen out there, but it seems like the Rams only make splash moves. So I gave them Ndamukong Suh. He's another guy who's still out there. He's been with the Rams before. I'm not sure what it would take to get him, but I mean, like I said, they only make these huge splash moves that make you wonder how they've got the salary cap space to pull them off. And it feels like bringing back Ndamukong Suh could just be the next, headline move that they make.
That's an interesting thought. It really is, because I guess they can't get it together in Tampa Bay with what they're doing. And he is a guy that plays every game, every year, It is productive, gets sacks. I mean, it's amazing how long he's been that good. Doug, that was fantastic. That is a heck of a piece of work right there. It was so good. I was like, all right, I'm stealing that for the podcast as I was reading through it. Doug Kide, you can read all of his stuff right here at PFF. And thanks for doing that, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, Chris. It's great.